Chapter 9. Leslie Wexner, the head of the snake. On March 6, 1985, in Columbus, Ohio, lawyer Arthur L. Shapiro bolted suddenly from his parked car. The 43-year-old attorney sprinted across a cemetery, chased by a man with a gun. Shapiro made it as far as the door to an apartment before the gunman caught up with him, firing two bullets into Shapiro's head at point-blank range, as the victim hammered desperately on the door, killing him instantly. The murder of Arthur Shapiro would never be solved. But 10 years later, an unexpected clue turned up, shedding light on who might have been behind the mob-style hit. It was a leaked copy of a document, thought to have been destroyed in 1985 by then-Columbus Police Chief James Jackson. The incriminating document pointed the finger at a famous Ohio billionaire who had an otherwise pristine reputation, at least on the surface. The man was Leslie Wexner, an Ohio-born and bred businessman whose life story read like a template for the American dream. Born on September 8, 1937 in Dayton, Ohio, Wexner's parents were both Russian Jews. The family owned a clothing store named Leslie after their son, in which Wexner got his first retail experience after graduating from Ohio State University with a degree in business administration. Wexner said in a report for CNN that he was tasked with running the family store while his parents took a much-needed vacation. While they were away, Wexner analyzed the profit and loss margins and discovered that the less high-end items, such as blouses and skirts, were more profitable than the expensive clothing, such as jackets. This led to the inspiration behind his own clothing retail store, The Limited, which he set up in 1963 with a $5,000 loan from his aunt. As the name suggested, The Limited ran a reduced selection of moderately priced clothes with a high turnover and good profit margin. Wexner opened a second store a year after the first, and by 1969, the company had gone public. In 1976, The Limited had 100 stores across the United States, and Wexner was buying up other companies to expand his empire. In 1982, Victoria's Secret joined the list, the women's lingerie brand that Epstein would use as a cover for his sexual abuse and trafficking. By the time of the Shapiro murder, Wexner was already a household name across America and a fixture in every shopping mall. He was also giving lots of money to Jewish causes with his Wexner Foundation, set up to educate Jewish communal leaders in Jewish history and culture. Nobody could have been less likely to be involved in a mob-style murder. Perhaps that's why Columbus Police Chief James Jackson ordered the destruction of the report linking Wexner to the crime. According to a later investigation into Jackson's potential corruption, he had destroyed the report by one of his detectives because he thought it could have been libelous. The report linked Wexner to a number of other millionaire Ohio businessmen as being potentially connected to the murder of Shapiro. According to local journalist Bob Fitrakis, who was sent a leaked copy of the report, the document revealed that Shapiro was due to appear in court the day after his murder. The partner in Columbus law firm, Schwartz, Shapiro, Kelm, and Warren, had apparently failed to file income tax returns for the previous 7 years. The report stated that Shapiro was the lawyer who represented The Limited and speculated that the hit had been organized by Wexner and his colleagues to stop incriminating information coming out in Shapiro's testimony. Irrespective of whether Wexner was actually involved in Shapiro's murder, the Columbus police report is interesting because it exposed links between Wexner and organized crime. The report, written by Elizabeth Loop, an analyst with Columbus Police's Organized Crime Bureau, noted that The Limited used a haulage firm called Walsh Trucking Company and was owner Francis Walsh's single biggest customer. Walsh, according to the report, even used the Limited's headquarters as his mailing address. Nothing suspicious about this, except that Walsh had known ties to the Genovese crime family and was charged in 1988 with making illegal payoffs to reported mob figures. Interestingly, the indictment against Walsh mentioned unindicted co-conspirators as legendary mafia figures Anthony Fat Tony Salerno and Matthew Matty the Horse Ianiello. Despite the legitimate nature of Wexner's public profile, it seemed shadier things were going on beneath the surface. But it wasn't just ties to organized crime like Epstein and the Maxwells. Wexner was moving in even deeper circles. Circles that involved intelligence networks, like the CIA and the Mossad. As we have seen, by the mid-80s, Wexner was already working with Epstein, who himself was deeply tied to intelligence. Then, in 1991, Wexner founded an organization called the Study Group, or Mega Group, along with partner Charles Bronfman. Ostensibly, the Mega Group was made up of rich businessmen with an interest in promoting Jewish interests in the United States. However, many of its members had links to Israeli intelligence and organized crime, according to an article by independent journalist Whitney Webb. Charles Bronfman was a business partner of Israeli super spy Robert Maxwell, having partnered with him in a bid to buy the Jerusalem Post in 1989. Charles's brother, Edgar Bronfman, another Mega Group member, was, as has already been noted, Epstein's client at Bear Stearns, where an SEC investigation into financial irregularities with Bronfman's company, Seagram, was the possible reason for Epstein's dismissal. The Bronfman family, as a whole, had a history of organized crime, as Webb shows with their father, Samuel Bronfman, one of the main importers of illegal alcohol to the US during the Prohibition era. As such, the Bronfmans built up extensive ties with various mafia leaders, including Charles Lucky Luciano, Mo Dalitz, Abner Longy Zwillman, and Meyer Lansky. The family, according to Webb, was also tied to sex trafficking rings and the use of underage honey trap victims to blackmail key figures. It seems unlikely that the children of such a mob-connected man as Samuel Bronfman would entirely disassociate from the criminal underworld. And indeed, Webb shows that many prominent members of Seagram's dynasty were connected to major Canadian crime figures throughout the 60s and 70s. Fast forward to the present, and Edgar Bronfman's daughters, Claire and Sarah, are heads of the infamous Nexium sex trafficking cult, with Claire Bronfman pleading guilty to sex trafficking offences in 2019. Some things, it seems, just run in the family. Other prominent mega group members have ties with organised crime, intelligence, and senior figures in the Israeli government. One of these is Ronald Lauder, the heir to the Estee Lauder cosmetics dynasty, and president of the World Jewish Congress. Lauder served as U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense, and during his time at the Pentagon, had become a friend and ally of the then-Israeli representative to the United Nations, Benjamin Netanyahu. Lauder became an instrumental player in Netanyahu's rise to Israeli Prime Minister in 1996, and was a major donor to Netanyahu's party, Likud. According to Webb, Lauder also has ties to Israeli intelligence, via his funding of Israel's IDC Herzliya, a university closely associated with the recruitment of intelligence agents. Even more interesting, in 1986, Lauder became the US ambassador to Austria. As was revealed earlier, Epstein had an Austrian passport that was discovered when his New York mansion was raided by police. Given that Epstein's lawyers claimed this was given to him in the 80s by a friend, Webb makes the credible assertion that this friend was likely to have been Lauder. As the US ambassador in Austria, he was in a unique position to obtain such a document. Another prominent mega group member, hedge fund manager Michael Steinhardt, admitted his own links to organized crime in his autobiography, where he wrote that his father worked directly for mob boss Meyer Lansky. Indeed, Wexner's own mentor and fellow mega group member, Max Fischer, is alleged to have worked with an organized crime group called the Purple Gang, smuggling illegal Bronfman liquor from Canada to the US during the Prohibition. Another member and founder of CBS News, Lawrence Tisch, worked for the Office of Strategic Services, OSS, a precursor to the CIA. But it wasn't just his colleagues in the mega group that had ties to Israeli intelligence. Wexner had enough of his own. The Wexner Foundation paid $2.3 million to former Israeli Prime Minister and head of military intelligence, Ehud Barak, for two studies, one of which was not even finished. According to the Times of Israel, it was Barak who, according to Ari Ben Menashe, signed Epstein up to Israeli intelligence in the 80s. In 2015, Barak co-founded a company with Epstein, which is now called Carbine 911, and will be discussed further in a later chapter. Barak has flown on more than one occasion on the Lolita Express, and also visited Epstein's New York mansion several times. He's also been spotted in several instances entering the building owned by Epstein's brother Mark on Manhattan's East 66th Street, where models from the Epstein-funded modeling agency, MC2, were housed. The huge apartment building was purchased from none other than Leslie Wexner. If there are any doubts remaining about Wexner's high-level influence on geopolitical events concerning Israel, a document uncovered by Ohio journalist Bob Fitrakis should dispel them. The leaked report entitled Wexner Analysis, Israeli Communication Priorities 2003, outlines a political PR campaign to keep American interests tied to those of Israel using propaganda concerning the Iraqi war. The report recommends the use of the words Saddam Hussein as much as possible as a fear-instilling bogeyman, and to constantly link Arab terrorism against America to Israel's ongoing efforts to eradicate terrorism on and within its borders. Fitrakis noted that the PR campaign was part of a systematic campaign to identify Israeli national security interests with US military and security interests. And Wexner and the mega group, it seems, were at the heart of it. Could it be that Wexner, co-founder of the mega group, was the head of both an overt and covert Israeli operation to tie America's interests inseparably to those of Israel? Was part of the covert operation a honey trap scheme involving underage girls to entrap prominent political figures that he ran in conjunction with Epstein? Ex-Israeli intelligence agents like Ari Ben Menashe and Viktor Ostrovsky certainly think so. And independent researcher Ryan Dawson, who has been studying Epstein for 13 years, has come to the same conclusion: that Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were the frontmen for the operation, with Wexner the shadowy sponsor. It certainly fits the evidence of all the properties which Wexner kitted out with cameras, then essentially gifted to Epstein. An Epstein victim, Maria Farmer, claims that Ghislaine Maxwell always made it clear that she worked for Wexner, not Epstein. According to Farmer, Wexner was head of the snake in the US, and it was on Wexner's Ohio estate the farmer was abused by Epstein and Maxwell. When Farmer called 911, she was told, she claims, that Wexner owned the local police, so there was no chance she would escape from the billionaire's estate with her life. Wexner himself always claimed that Epstein had pulled the wool over his eyes, alleging Epstein had misappropriated millions of dollars from his funds. Was Wexner really the naive victim he claimed to be? It certainly doesn't fit with the evidence. Limited staff had reportedly told Wexner that Epstein was using Victoria's Secret as a front to abuse underage girls as early as the 90s, and yet Wexner did nothing to stop it. Wexner formally ended his relationship with Epstein in 2007, distancing himself from the Florida sexual abuse case. And in 2020, Wexner stepped down as CEO of his L Brands empire, following bad press connecting him to Epstein. However, Wexner's involvement in the story may not stop there. Former Epstein lawyer Alan Dershowitz has brought the shadowy billionaire back into the spotlight thanks to his ongoing legal battle with Epstein victim Virginia Giuffre. Giuffre has claimed she was forced by Epstein to have sex with Dershowitz, and Dershowitz is countersuing Giuffre for defamation. In the ongoing battle, Dershowitz has claimed that Giuffre tried to extort money from Wexner by making similar claims that the Ohio businessman had raped her. Dershowitz is seeking to subpoena Wexner to testify in his case. This must be embarrassing for Wexner, because this is the first time this information has come to light, and he clearly wanted to keep any dealings with Giuffre secret. Even worse for Wexner, Dershowitz, who seems less inclined to keep his mouth shut, claimed in an interview with Turkish news channel TNT World that Wexner had been accused of raping Epstein victims on no less than 7 separate occasions. And there has been further bad publicity. Yair Netanyahu, son of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is in court for claiming that several top Israeli officials are part of a Wexner-funded paedophile cult. The officials are all alumni of Harvard University's Kentucky School, where they were beneficiaries of Israeli fellowships, funded by the Wexner Foundation. It is unclear why Netanyahu is claiming the school is a paedophile cult. But given the ties between Wexner, Epstein and Harvard, and Netanyahu's possible insider information, it is certainly not a claim to be dismissed out of hand. It is unclear yet whether the Ohio billionaire will be dragged into the ongoing Ghislaine Maxwell investigation. But it seems more information is bound to come to light, one way or another. For a man who has kept his private life largely under lock and key and his reputation intact, Leslie Wexner may soon be forced to step out of the shadows. The secrets he brings with him could be more shocking even than Epstein's or Maxwell's, and perhaps more egregious. Nevertheless, come out they must. Light, as they say, is the best disinfectant.